Once you've found your place there in Proverbs chapter 3, please be upstanding and read those few verses, and we'll pray again tonight. Ask the Lord to bless His word to our hearts. Proverbs chapter 3, and beginning from verse 3, the Bible mentions, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you tonight, and we're so thankful once again that we can be in your word and under your word. We're so thankful, Father, that this day that you've given to us, we can find rest in you, in your word. We thank you that you, Father, have made this Lord's day for your people. We appreciate, Father, the tender-heartedness that you have toward us, the long-suffering that you have, the grace that you bestow upon us. Father, you've been too good to us. We're so thankful for your goodness and for your mercy that endures forever. We thank you for the word of God, the truth that it is. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of holiness and righteousness. We're so thankful that we have the living word of God in our hands, the light that lights our path. We're so thankful that you give us direction and also, Lord God, instruction in righteousness. We do ask and pray tonight, dear God, that you will continue to work in our hearts, work on us through your word, and help us understand what it means to have mercy and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If there's something that is desperately needed in our Christian life, it's a godly balance. We are prone to major more in one extreme than another. We tend to lead on one facet more on one facet than another. We spend more time in one area than another. And an out-of-balance walk in our Christian life can be both destructive and dangerous. And also can be displeasing to the Lord. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 11 verse 1, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." And this passage of Scripture, what we're going to look at tonight, we will find the most important just weight we are encouraged as Christians to have. And it's mercy and truth. Mercy and truth must be together. You can't have one without the other. It's like perhaps having a steam train without steam. It's like having a car with no engine. It's having a ship with no rudder. It's like having a plane with no wings. They must be together or they're inadequate. A man of God once said, "To have a zeal for God's truth without mercy is harsh and tends towards hypocrisy and produces rebellion. And to have mercy without zeal for truth is mere sentimentalism, soppy and emotional." We need both. True biblical love never contradicts the truth or downplays the truth. Mercy and truth are like husband and wife. They're related. They should always be together in the Christian life. It's like faith and repentance. They are related. You can't separate the two. The Bible says there in Psalm 85 verse 10, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." So I want you to notice in the first place tonight, a perfect position. I want you to see the Bible says there, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." This is a perfect position that no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ had. In John chapter 1, beginning from verse 14, the Bible mentions, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth." And the Lord wants us to have this position, this perfect position that He had. He doesn't want us to lean on one more than the other. He wants us to have them together. And a man of God once said, "These two twins of virtue are reflective of God Himself, for His mercy reflects His great love and His truth emanates from His holiness." Isn't that true? And so we see in the first place, mercy. What does mercy mean? It means the goodness or the kindness. It means to have pity upon. It derives from a heart of God, a heart of love, that is. And as blood-bought Christians, we are to demonstrate mercy. The natural man or the flesh tends to be unmerciful, malicious, unkind, and self-seeking. That's the natural man. It wants revenge. It wants to get back at. It wants to repay evil with evil. But the Bible says, blessed are the merciful. Now, what are a number of things that we can demonstrate mercy upon others? Anyone can help me tonight? What are some ways in which you and I can demonstrate mercy upon other people? Anyone can help me? Eddie? Forgiveness. Okay, wonderful. That's right. We can forgive people out of a pure heart. We can forgive them even when they don't ask for forgiveness. We understand that the relationship perhaps won't be restored like we'd want it to, but at the same time, it's pleasing to God. Amen? When we do have a forgiving spirit. What else? What are some other ways in which we can demonstrate mercy? Yes.
Not judging or in the sense of condemning.
Okay, yes. Not throwing stones at other people. Not judging them and seeing yourself greater than them, but rather having compassion upon them, like the Lord Jesus had compassion upon that woman caught in adultery. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, amen. Repaying good for evil. Okay. Giving food to your enemies, and out of a genuine, gracious, godly spirit. It can be done. It's difficult. Oh, it is. It's finding that balance on how to reach someone in their time of need, and not to be fake or not to be proving a point, but rather be genuine with all sincerity and truth. And God is able to give us that through His Spirit and by His grace. Thank you for that. And also, we see 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves as the brethren, and to who? And to all men. As you find our opportunity to do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. But then another way in which we can show mercy, and which the Lord Jesus Christ proved and demonstrated throughout His life, is to share the gospel to your undeserving people. Yes, to even to those that perhaps do us wrong, or those that simply don't like us, those that give us a hard time, those in our fleshly minds think they're not worthy. None of us are worthy. Amen? But the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated this gracious approach to sinners. And we see the Pharisees couldn't handle it. Every time they saw it, they cringed. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Notice beginning from verse 10 what the Bible mentions there. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. And this is an Old Testament scripture quoted by Jesus Christ. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And one of the ways in which you and I can demonstrate mercy is to go out and reach others. And He says to them, I want you to understand what this means. That I'd have mercy rather than sacrifice. In this case, God desires compassion upon people more than the sacrificial of service of the religious person. He wants someone to show mercy and compassion more than someone that serves. Can you think about that for a moment? Because that's God's heart. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And so we need to have that heart which God has. And so I want you to think about what will help us have this kind of compassion and mercy that moves us to go out and tell people, whether they're around us in the community, family or friends, to simply be selfless in our day-to-day lives, to give out a tract, go out and show compassion, make a phone call, send a verse, send an email, send a card, whatever it is, but to simply have this mercy within us. I want you to remember the mercy God demonstrated in your life and in mine, because that's what's going to help us. It's going to help us when you remember how much God has forgiven you. It becomes easy to forgive others, because no doubt you and I have a great debt. You and I have sins and many sins, and you and I were approached by someone that had a gracious approach to tell us in need of a Savior, to share with us the powerful grace gospel that saved our soul. When you remember how much God's mercy was upon your life, it's easy to have mercy upon others. Let me encourage you, Christian. When you wake up every morning, God says, "Remember my mercy." It's fresh. It's new every morning. And how desperately we need God's mercy as Christians. I don't know about you, when I hear about these people that have sinless perfection doctrine, what torment. It's unbelievable that these people can believe once they know Christ, they'll never sin again. They've been deceived. Because we understand that the flesh is with us and will always hinder us. But when you wake up in the morning, just rest in God's mercy. It's fresh and new every morning. I don't know about you, but that's what keeps me going. That the mercy of God keeps me going for another day, that God has worked in my life, that I can have compassion and mercy in someone else's life. I want you to see, if you would, in Jude chapter 1, and beginning from verse 21, Jude gives instruction here. And he says this: keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have what? Compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The Bible says, for you and I as Christian, to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for his mercy, because that is the very thing that will help us be merciful to others. That is the very thing that will help us continue to have this with us everywhere we go and whatever we do, when we keep ourselves in God's love, looking for his mercy. It brings about a compassion. It brings about this pity upon others. When I see God's grace and God's mercy in my life, it helps me have compassion in the lives of others. But then we see truth. I can't stay too long here. We don't have the time to do it. There are a few other things I'd like to mention, but a lot more can be said about mercy. But we look at truth. Truth is the unfailing, unchanging word of God. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. And as Christians, we are to, number one, contend for the faith. It is again instructed in Jude. We are to contend for the faith. Someone once said, truth is the unbending standard which manifests itself in judgment and purity. I want you to see Jude had a perfect balance in mercy and in truth. One chapter, one book, begins with contending for the faith, ends with showing compassion. Amen? Notice what he says there, beginning from verse 3. Beloved, when I gave you all diligence to write unto you, of you, the common salvation which was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. The word there, the verb, contend for the faith, but earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints, is a command for us to contend for the truth. For why? Notice verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it's important to keep the truth upheld as well, because it defines what true grace is. Because these men corrupted the grace of God. They were treating the grace of God, or even trying to demonstrate to others that the grace of God was an unbridled lust. It was like perhaps a license to sin. You can live the way you want now that you've been saved and God's grace is upon you. Do what you want. No. Because we understand Titus tells us that the grace of God teaches us to what? To deny all ungodliness, and that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So it's very important that we hold up the truth of God's word in what His grace truly is, because men have corrupted the grace of God and no doubt have corrupted the mercy of God, and those things are not a license to reject the living God or to reject His word. And so we see that we need to contend for the faith, especially when it comes to the person's soul, when it comes to their soul salvation. This idea that men can come as they are and stay as they are is ridiculous. Now, they come as they are, but God begins to work in their life, and the Holy Spirit of God enters their life as they trust Him as their Lord and Savior, and He begins to make a change in their life. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we see that we need to contend for the faith, but not only can contend, we need to continue in the faith. C.S. Lewis said, a man can't always be defending the truth. There must be a time where he feeds on it. Amen? And we need to be in the Word of God, to walk in truth. Why? Not only to contend for the truth, but you and I need to feed on the Word of God so we can be honest people, truthful, not handling the Word deceitfully. Amen? And not being a people without any godly integrity. God wants us to feed on His word, that we be men of truth, ladies of truth, children of truth. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 12:17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth what? Righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. And in 2 Corinthians 8:21, the Bible says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We ought to be people that have integrity, that speak the truth. We don't lie like we used to. We do not deceive. We do not hide the truth, give half truth, conceal the truth. We don't try to sugarcoat the truth, amen. But we tell the truth. It's like in the court of law. You promise to say the truth, nothing but the truth, all the truth, whatever. So help you, God. I do. It's a shame today that it's gone. It's out in the bin, isn't it? Once there was a fear of God and the Bible and the truth of the Word of God. Now it's gone. But as Christians, we need to be people of the truth, living out the Word of God in our lives. We need to be honest. We need to be that salt, that light in front of a perverse generation. We need to be that example for the people to see the work of God in our lives, that they may that He may get the glory. I want you to note this down. Truth is God's wonderful word. Mercy is God's loving heart. Okay, can we say that together? Truth is God's wonderful word. Mercy is God's loving heart. Okay, so please note that and understand that these go together. It is the truth of the word of God, and it is the mercy of the heart of God that you and I need to have. And God help us to have this wise balance. So we see this perfect position, but secondly, I want you to see the primary place. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning from verse 3, the Bible says, bind them, the second part of that verse, bind them about thy neck, the primary place, around your neck. You know what Solomon was saying here? He was likening it to having a sacred chain around your neck. Why? It typified something to be at value and beauty. Amen? And mercy and truth is very expensive, no doubt. Valuable. It's more precious than gold. But we see at the same time that it's a beautiful characteristic to have. He says, I want you to have it around your neck. Also that it's to be considered the primary place. It needs to be always with us. We need to seek it first. Remember, as the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his mercy, and his righteousness, his truth. Okay, so these need to be sought as a primary place in our lives, and we need to keep them with us at all times. How do we do that as Christians? How do we make sure that we keep them in our lives first place, mercy and truth? Well, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians 5:9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and in truth. And you and I, as Christians, are instructed to walk in the Spirit. There's no other way that you and I can be able to grow in this characteristic other than the Word of God and the Spirit of God leading us and prompting us as we walk in this day. I mean, you and I can understand that we can still walk in the flesh, or we choose now to walk in the Spirit of God. And when we're found in the Spirit of God, we are able to exhibit these truths, this mercy. We can have them around our neck. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And it is able to teach us. Now, the second part of that, verse 3, write them upon the table of thy heart. Now, as we looked at a few weeks ago, when you have things in your heart, they're not easily lost, right? When you hide them here, in that place, or in your mind, they're not easily lost. Remember Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. This is very important. When God says, I want you to write something on your heart, in other words, it's precious, and he doesn't want us to forget it, and he wants us to live it. And it's one thing knowing about it, but it's another to be able to act upon what he's actually entrusting us to do. 1 John chapter 3 would mention that very, very clearly if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 3. I want you to see 1 John chapter 3, beginning from verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother having need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? Deed and in truth. For if our, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. So we need to see that we need to have this mercy and truth penned down on our hearts. It's not easily lost there, and that we could keep it, and we can follow after it, and which leads us to the next point. I want you to first see Psalm 25:10. Psalm 25:10. All the path of the Lord are what? Mercy and truth. Unto such as what? Keep his covenant and his testimonies. And that's what the heart is there to do. When it's in the heart, when it's in my mind, I have what? Hid thy word in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. It's a precious place to have mercy and truth right there, because that's where the will and emotion is. Remember, we spoke about a few weeks ago. In our heart, that place. Remember, Jesus even said it, where your heart is. Whatever has your heart has your life. He said, give me your heart. God's got your heart. He's got everything. And he says, I want you to have these in your heart. I want you to write them and pen them down right there. Don't lose them. If we are going to keep them, we need to remember them, but they need to be in our heart for us to remember them. We need to think about it, meditate it, on this. We need to understand the wise balance that the Lord wants is mercy and truth. Because again, you and I are more prone to lean on one extreme than the other. I don't know about you, but in my growing up in these 11 years, this balance, in whatever it is, in my family, in my work, in my ministry, Lord, I want this balance. I don't want to be out of balance. And in every area of my life, I want mercy and truth to govern all that I do. And so God says, keep them in your heart. Don't lose them, both of them together. And so leads us to the next point, not only a perfect position, a primary place, but now as a result, again, a profound product. He says in verse 4, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen? This is no doubt the byproduct of a Christian walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says about him in Luke 2:52, when Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and is instructed in 1 John that you and I walk in his footsteps. God wants us to walk in his footsteps. And if anything pleases God, it's this balance, this wise balance of mercy and truth. Remember, the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his what? Delight. It's what pleases God, and you have favor upon it. I don't know about you, but you want God's favor upon your life. You want to please God. You walk in mercy and truth. You exhibit these two together. You have a heart for the word of God. You have a heart for souls. Amen? These two can't be separate. They need to go together. All right? So you'd have the favor of God in your life. Remember, in 1 Kings 3:10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What did he ask for? Wisdom. Okay? We understand that the wisdom that God had granted Solomon is the very thing that we're looking at tonight. Okay? This is what he cried out for. So we understand that this is the very thing that pleased God, that we have his wisdom, and his wisdom for us and for Solomon, that is that we walk in these two things, mercy and truth. And so you understand Solomon wanted to make sure when he asked for wisdom that he'd make the right judgment, that he'll lead right, that when the people would gather together to seek him, he'd give them the right wisdom. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked and to overthrow the righteous in judgment. And that's not gracious. That's not merciful. So he just wanted to be merciful. He wanted to show grace in every area of judgment that he was going to make. And then we see in James chapter 2 and verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. So the reason he cried out for this is so he doesn't show any partiality. So every single judgment that he makes would be mercy and truth. Mercy and truth in the lives of others. God is pleased. Look at God is pleased when you and I walk with these two things in our hearts and around our neck. When we carry them to see it value, when we carry them to see that they take resident there in our minds and in our hearts, that this is the thing that I am wanting to do for God's glory. It pleases him. And I want you to see Proverbs 20:28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholded by mercy. The best royal crown a king can have is mercy and truth. Amen? Good understanding in the sight of God, but now also see in the sight of man. I want you to note this down. When you have favor, when you have the favor of God in your life, you will have the right kind of favor with man. Amen? Because we need the right kind of favor with man. Proverbs 24:26, the Bible says, every man shall kiss the lips that giveth a right answer. And so we are wanting to be a people of mercy and truth, that we may have the favor of God, but also the favor of man. Now, even to a circumstance under God's providence, that the Bible also makes mention in the book of Proverbs, when a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, that is amazing when you think about a people that reject God, most of the people in the world today, that reject God and reject His truth. That God is even able to make you in your university, in your workplace, in your school, have people's favor upon you. Why? Because they see a work of God that they cannot deny. And that's what happened in the life of Joseph. If anyone I can think of in the Bible that was pleasing to God, and because of that, he had favor with man, it was Joseph. Let's turn there in Genesis chapter 39. Beginning from verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's amazing, isn't it? And that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him, and he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put in his hand. All right, we also see there in verse 21, when he was shut up in prison, not because of his own doing, but different things had taken place there. In verse 21, the Bible says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Can you think about that for a moment? Notice verse 23. "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Now, I want you to think about that. The accusation that had taken place in Joseph's life, if Pharaoh, Potiphar really believed that he was accused of what he was accused of because of Potiphar's wife, off with his head. Forget about it. Well, I really believe deep down in his heart, he knew that Joseph wasn't that kind of man. That he was a man of truth and integrity and honesty, and that the Lord had made him this kind of man. You couldn't deny it. And chapter 41, verse 37, in the presence of Pharaoh, the same. Notice in verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this? This is a man in whom the Spirit of God is." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." They can deny God, they can deny God's truth, but they certainly cannot deny the peace that a Christian has. They certainly cannot deny the faithfulness that a Christian has. They certainly cannot deny the respect that a Christian has to their work and to their boss. They certainly cannot deny the integrity that they have. And they, most of all, they certainly cannot deny the love and the loyalty they have toward God. That's only if they've got these mercy and truth in their lives. They can't deny it. When you carry them around your neck, my friend, and when you have them in your heart and you live by those things, by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God and by the grace of God, they can't deny what God is doing in your life. Hey, they love it. If anyone wants to hire anyone, they're looking for these people. Oh, they don't want your message half the time. Some of the time, some will come because of it. Praise God for that. But they know, and they cannot deny it, that God, and by His grace, works in the life of a Christian. What a wise balance to have, mercy and truth. In closing, I want you to notice what Jesus tells the religious mob. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have admitted the weightier matters of the law. So we understand that God wanted them to tithe. He wasn't, putting that down. We understand that God wanted sacrifices to be done. Okay, when God said, look, I want obedience more than sacrifices to Saul, we understand that God never ever said that I didn't want your sacrifice, but I wanted obedience first. And when King David came before the Lord and he repented, he says, Lord, the sacrifices that you're looking for is a broken heart, a contrite spirit. And we understand that God did not despise other sacrifices that were done. And we understand that that man that left his gift, that came to his gift to bring it to the altar. And that God didn't say, I don't want that gift, but I want you to leave it there and make right with your brother and come back and offer your gift. The same thing is true here. There are certain things that are weightier, that matter most. And in this situation, he says to them, you have admitted the weightier matters of the law, look at, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not left, and not to have the others undone. So God wants you to concentrate in these things, mercy and truth. Go, he says. Think about what this means. Why? Well, Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Mercy and truth is not a license to sin. No, mercy and truth is the very thing that purge sin. And the only way sin, my friend, tonight can be purged is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other person in this world, no other religion, no other duty, no other way that you and I could be saved or have our sins purged, but through the grace and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the mercy of God, the love of God, and through the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Matthew Henry said, mercy is the promising, truth is the performing. The mercy and truth which kiss each other in Jesus Christ, the mediator, by the covenant of grace, in which mercy and truth shine so brightly. I want you to turn just quickly with me to 2 Peter as we close chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. A wise balance to have, mercy and truth. But we need to grow in it. We know that we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ leading us, but we ought to grow in these areas. 2 Peter 3:17, the Bible says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. When Peter is saying this, that means it is possible that you're able to, okay? So we need to understand that. He says, beware, lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked, for from your own steadfastness. But, this is the key, grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The third principle of Grace Bible Baptist Church, amen. That we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, mercy and truth. Psalm 57, verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Remember the call of Jesus Christ, that he wants you and he wants me to be what? Salt and light. Salt is the mercy. Light is the truth. And he wants us to have both. The two together, salt, light, mercy, and truth. A wise balance that pleases the Lord. But a wise balance that helps you and I grow into Christ-likeness. Notice what the Bible says, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen? Let not mercy forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them, where? Around your neck. Keep them in your heart. And you have favor in the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth are wise balance. May God give us that grace to pursue and grow in him, in our Lord Jesus Christ, that exemplifies the two, mercy and truth. Let's pray. Tonight, I just want to give you a time to reflect. If you're like me, I tend to be out of balance, but I pray and I say, Lord, please, I don't want to be an abomination to you. Lord, help me to continue to grow in this balance. Only the Lord can give it. Got to walk in the Spirit. Got to be in His Word. Got to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in His grace and in His knowledge. Maybe tonight you'd make a decision. I won't ask the questions, very common. If I said to you, who wants to grow in mercy and truth? I think all hands will go up. But maybe tonight you want special prayer. You say, Pastor, I've been struggling with some things. I want you to pray for me in a certain area. And you want to verbalize it later, you can. You don't want me to know about it, that's fine. I can still remember you in prayer and pray for you. You say, please, that's me, pray for me. Anyone like that? Amen. 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 Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure about the grace of God in your own life, and you're not really sure that if you die, you'd be with the Lord. You have doubts, you're struggling with the assurance of salvation. You say, please remember me in your prayers in this area. Please pray for me. Amen. Anyone else? I'm struggling, my heart is heavy, and I don't want to get this wrong. I want to make sure that I have my assurance in the Lord. Anyone else tonight? Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, oh Lord, we're so thankful that your word is encouraging, comforting, challenging. We're so thankful that thy word is able to sanctify us, grow us into Christ's likeness. That was the prayer of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. We thank you so much for having that desire for us to grow into Christ's likeness, that we may have these two, mercy and truth. And Lord God, God of heaven, Holy Father, help us. As a church and in our individual lives, to not be casual but calculated, earnest, diligent, seeking like for hidden treasures, to have mercy and truth evident and balanced in our lives. Not just today or tomorrow or next month, Lord, but for the rest of our lives here on earth as we continue to shine and be a salt for you, for your glory. Father, the moment we forget, please remind us. of this wise balance. A balance that pleases you. A just weight that is crucial in our godly living. Father in heaven, I want to pray for those hearts that hands lifted up, special prayer request. Lord, that you'd strengthen their hearts and that the grace of God may be multiplied unto them in certain areas of their lives, Lord, that you know that they need to maybe adjust, add, or take away. Pray for them. I intercede on their behalf, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way and that your grace and wisdom would be multiplied unto them. Please, Lord, strengthen them. Direct their steps and their thoughts. And I pray, Father, for those hands that have been lifted up for the assurance of salvation. Oh, Lord, very important. Thank you so much that you've been working in their hearts. And I pray, Lord, that your word, the knowledge of truth, would help them come to the reality of their own salvation as they work it out before you. Father, I pray that you'd grant to me wisdom to know how to lead them in the truth of your word in whatever area that they're lacking. Father, we submit to you all things tonight. Leave them in your hands, and that you may bless according to your will for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.